7 feet. Barren, strange fruit. Blood on the leaves. And blood at the roots. Black bodies swinging in the southern breeze. Strange fruit hanging from the poplar trees. Pastoral scene of the gallant South. Them big bulging eyes and the twisted mouth. Scent of magnolia, clean and fresh.
Testing, testing, 1, 4, 3. Testing, testing, 1, 4, 3. Welcome to the Ken's Corner Podcast, and I am your host, Ken. And I want to first and foremost thank everyone for being patient, and I truly apologize for having this podcast not come out on its normal time. However, I'm going to explain that. So for everyone who's my first time listeners, I'm just now joining in. Thank you so much. You could have been doing anything else, but you chose to spend this time with me. Welcome to episode number 59 of the Ken's Corner Podcast. These are things that I need you to do. As you listen, please make sure you subscribe. Please make sure you download. Please make sure you stream, retweet, and share each time we post. I usually post on Tuesday, but this time I just couldn't do it. I couldn't bring myself to do it. So what's going on in the neighborhood right now that we need to talk about on the corner? Also, you can interact with me on my website, which is www.kenscorner.co. That's www.kenscorner.co. As you can tell in my voice, I've been triggered, and that is the reason why I could not do the podcast at its normal time, because what's going on right now in the United States specifically, it triggered me, and just want to go out and just, it's going to be a lot of rest in peace and just a lot of hurt in my voice and everything, and I just ask my fans to please bear with me. George Floyd was murdered, and as George Floyd was murdered by Derek Chauvin, or as I guess that's how you pronounce his name, in Minneapolis, Thomas Lane, Thao, and J. Alexander Krung all stood there and watched as this man was murdered. And for me, it's just a cycle that I've been past tired of. It's murder, anger, prayers, hashtag repeat. It's murder, anger, prayers, hashtag repeat. And what I look at is, you know, the song that was originally by Billie Holiday. So Strange Fruit was originally recorded by Billie Holiday. However, I just like the Nina Simone version better. But shout out to both the queens. They both did an excellent job in that song, but the song was originally by Billie Holiday. It was a teacher actually wrote it. It's a poem, and it talked about the lynchings in the South, and known as strange fruit. So, you know, as apples and pears and peaches hang from the tree, so were Africans brought here against their will to the Americas. And being a descendant of Africans who were brought here against their will to the America, we've had 400 years of trauma as a people, as a society, that has caused all types of psychological damage to us. More and more reports are coming out about the PTSD that our people have suffered due to the forced slavery. And these particular incidents that's been portrayed across social media and the news is really, for me, the same type of lynching type of mentality. And what I mean by that is a lot of the psychological warfare was fear-based. And so when you did the hangings and you did those things, you scared the rest of the people to keep them in line, because you did not want to end up like that. And so the horrific things that were done to us, it caused trauma, and it's years and years of trauma. Another podcast for another day about just that specific aspect of our experience here in a land that we were forced to come to. And what it did for me, because I didn't see the video, so I'm going to start, but I saw the still shots every time I would scroll through any of my social media platforms. I will always bypass it because I don't want to forever these images to become normal and become desensitized. I want to make sure that I feel it, you know, not to the aspect where it, you know, causes me not to function throughout my day. But I want to be able to have that feeling that this is not normal. This is not how it's supposed to be. You know, for me, it was triggering because that was the first time I ever had a gun held to my head, was by a police officer who said that my friends and I fit the description, as we were just sitting in the car waiting on my other homie, or actually it was my brother's homie, but he's like a little brother to me, to come out to the car so we can go to a party. And that whole experience was just traumatic from the standpoint of these were the people that we pay their taxes, we pay their salary, and they're supposed to serve our community. And when you have these, and I'm putting air quote, rogue police officers doing these type of acts unchecked, then it creates, and I learned this in criminal justice, my intro to criminal justice class. I can't remember her name, and she was a white lady from Texas, and she broke it down to it real cool, Dr. Higgins. And she told us, about the blue line and how police officers don't cross that blue line. So when I learned about that in college, it just brought me back to that experience, because in my mind's eye, you know, when they broke, now mind you, where my house is in distance to where the district where I lived at was probably a 5-minute drive. But when someone broke into our house, it took over 2 hours to get there. And even when they came, it was just with no type of compassion, no type of anything. And so my interaction and my worldview of the police at that time, I felt NWA when they said fuck the police. I was with them, because you just knew about too many stories in our neighborhoods and neighborhoods like mine that the police did not protect and serve. And again, I'm going to say it isn't all of them, but at that time, it seemed like all of them. So you fast forward, you have more of a life experience, you have, you know, different you know, and your worldview changed. And so many of my good friends, brothers, and close associates, both white or black, are police officers. And so from that standpoint, I learned a different view because as the one police officer that's I'm really close with told me, he said, I see the worst in people every day. So I can only imagine what emotional and mental toll that is on a human when you see the worst in people every day and you don't get a break and you work, you know, different shifts, night shift, you know, and then you don't get a chance to see your family as much as you want to. And even though that's the profession you chose, it still takes a toll on you. And so I became a lot more sensitive to that. And then especially as, you know, close friends of mine became police officers, I was able to get a lot more insight. So my worldview changed. So my opinion on a lot of things changed. But the one thing that remains the same is that on a public display, people that look like me end up on the wrong end of the business deal. We Breonna Taylor, rest in peace to Breonna Taylor. You know, there's a thing where, and please forgive me for not knowing the title right off the, it's a no search, no knock search, no knock search warrant, something like that. I think that, but please forgive me if I don't, and please feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. But I believe it's called a no knock search warrant. That sets us up for failure, man. That sets us up for failure. You know, we already still mourning Ahmaud Arbery, and even though it wasn't done at the hands of the police per se, you know, as far as on duty officers, the cover up is still all the same. And so in a short period of time, we've been inundated with these tragedies, with these murders, and as a people and as a society, it triggers us in different ways. And for me, with this George Floyd-ish situation, it just really put it over the edge for me, and I really wasn't in a good mental and emotional place to record the podcast on time, even though, as I said, this is therapy. I still want to be responsible. I don't want to come on here just spewing in. I do my best just not to spew out of just pure emotion. You know, this comes off the heels of the, you know, Central Park Karen, Amy Cooper. And, you know, thank God, I'm saying it, thank God she lost her job. I will be honest, I think that she lost it more because of what she did to the dog than what she did to the human, because she really choked that dog out. And I, even though in the, again, Africans who were forced here against their will in the American community, we were outraged because she wanted to weaponize the civil servants for this man's execution. And the reason why that is so sensitive to me, because Ronald Richie is still walking the streets after he intentionally lied and wasn't being a good Samaritan when John Crawford got killed in the Walmart here in Beaver Creek. He's still walking around. And even though the Crawford family settled the case with the city and with the police, that's the dude, and hopefully they pursue him with every ounce of muscle and resources they can to get him locked up. Because because that was the first thing, one of those really triggered, because, you know, it hit close to home. It was, you know, I'm literally 15 minutes, no, 20 minutes from that particular Walmart in an area that I used to, because I've only been to that Walmart twice since that happened, and it was an emergency. And one time was for my mom. You know, I vowed never to step foot in that Walmart again. And one of the things that upset me so much is that when they, you know, read the results or the verdict, and the prosecutor and them came out and said, nobody did nothing wrong. How is it that nobody did nothing wrong and a man ends up dead? for just holding the BB gun. Film and tape clearly shows that he wasn't being a menace, wasn't doing anything. And so I was so upset. So I called one of my friends that's a cop, and he's a really good friend. And I just asked him, I said, hey, man, you know I'm not blaming you, man, but you got to help me explain, why would the cops come in so hot like that? And so this is even before the whole thing with the Richie guy coming out. He said, well, I listened to the 911, because, you know, he's a cop. So he said, I listened to the 911 call, bro. He said, I know you don't want to hear this. He said, but I would have came in hot too. He said, because the police have to respond based upon, you know, what the call, the 911 call is like, and with the dispatcher and all those things. And so he just went on to that explanation. And although it didn't sit well with me, the fact that he died, I was able to understand it a lot better. And so when you get, you know, people like Amy Cooper, and the only reason I'm calling your name out, because I want the world to know what a piece of trash you are. Your actions. Let me, because you're still one of God's creatures. So let me, and that's the reason why I had to take a break, because I want to be responsible. God created you. You're still one of His. But your actions was trash. And I hope you learned the lesson, and I hope that losing your job, losing some of your livelihood, hopefully that teaches you a lesson where you won't weaponize the police, because you knew that that type of response that you gave would have caused the police to come in a certain way. You knew that, and you said it. And thank God that he recorded it. And I think his name is Cooper also. But like I said, I honestly feel that from a world perspective, at least from a national perspective, it was almost even, at least in the things that I was seeing, that people were just as upset what you did to the dog as you did to a human. And I'm sorry. I mean, I love my dogs. I got two of them. But if it's my dogs or my family, I'm choosing my family every time. I'm not going to ever put a human being over a dog or over any animal. And so, you know, even in that, but, you know, some sort of justice was done to her. But right now they're rioting and looting. And I allowed myself to look at a video that, you know, the person said they were live coming from the actual riot. And it's a riot right now. And it started out as a protest and ended in a riot. And there were so many takeaways that, excuse me, that I saw. You know, it was people of all nationalities out there just causing destruction. And I'm not against riots if they're done right. And I'm not advocating rioting, but I understand it because back when it was really strategic, it was just the outcry of a misrepresented, underrepresented, oppressed people. And at the time, they didn't know how to act out. They didn't know how to really communicate that after certain tragedies happened. And so they just start tearing up. But my thing is that you never go, I will always argue, go to the neighborhood where these cops stay at and tear that up. That's where I don't tear up your own. If you're going to do it, go out there and do it, you know, and let them feel that heat, not in your own neighborhoods, but especially when you're, I hate to say when you're not necessarily effective, because I was looking at some of those, you know, some of those people looting, they were just in it to get free stuff and yelling no justice, no peace as they rolling some rims down a street. Nah, that ain't justice, man. That is not what you in it for. You know, but people are opportunistic, and they're going to just take what they can get when they can get it. And, you know, that's, you know, some, unfortunately, that's a character trait that's indicative of some human beings on this earth. But I'm just really, I'm sad, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sad that these people are no longer with us. And even though I didn't know any of them, never met any of them, even, you know, the Crawford here, and I never met him, never seen him. however I raised four young African descendants of Africans who were forced here to the Americas. I raised four of them. And I'm scared for my sons. I'm worried for my sons. I'm worried that when they go out, and it was never, you know, and for those who first thing you want to bring up is black on black crime, you are just as ignorant, willfully, and I'm going to say willfully ignorant, and that type of language, it's very hurtful and detrimental to what's going on. Again, crime is always committed in proximity. So when you use those, when you use that narrative, please make sure you understand that you're weaponizing and you're excusing. Because again, there is no utopia. Even for my Hoteps and all of those, Africa is not heaven. It never was heaven. It had problems. It had strife. It had killings. It had murders. It had all the makings of any society in the world. It was just ours, and we were taken from that. So I want to make sure I put everything in perspective. But when you use that language, well, we got to stop killing each other first. No, 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 no. The people who were hired to protect, because you took that oath to protect and serve. You took that oath, and there's a higher responsibility on you. There's more expected of you when you take certain roles. I expect more out of a teacher than I do a sanitation worker. I mean, again, I'm not putting one above each other. However, in the scope of society and what you do, the teacher is interacting with my, you know, my children. So there, yeah, this is a higher expectation that I want from my teacher than my sanitation work. And I'm not saying that, and again, sanitation workers make great money and good people. So let me not, I'm not putting that as a class thing, but I'm just using that as an example of responsibility. I put more responsibility on police than I do a teacher. And so when you having a bad day, or you have agendas, when you have all those type of thing, it affects people's lives. And moreover, I want to start a conversation, but get past a conversation where safe places can be made so that the quote unquote good cops can speak out. Because I think that that is what's missing from a perspective and a PR standpoint, is that when a pastor does something, especially in the African church, they people quick to, you know, separate themselves from them, go up in their own pulpit. I ain't preacher such and such, and I ain't bishop such and such. If it's a coach, coaches will stand up and talk out against it. If it's a teacher, you know, in these different areas. But if a police officer do something, man, it is crickets. And I think that what we have to do is, we, in order to help with the conversation, to change the narrative, to change, well, more importantly, policy, is that I believe, because again, I know good police officers, both white and black, but for whatever reason on some things, I know they don't, I ain't gonna say I bet my life on it, but I can tell that they don't say too much. And so for me, and for whatever reason, but I think on a national, if you had the national, I don't know if the national order for police, you know, when these type of things happen, these national organizations need to stand up and say, no, this is not what we teach. This is not what we tolerate. This is not the environment that we want to have. And we don't want to have anything to do with that person. Start touching those pensions. Start touching those, retirements and all that. Start making actual tangible policies that can help curtail this. Because again, you're always going to have bad apples. You're always going to have people to make mistakes. You're always going to have those type of things. But the consequence needs to match the crime. Because Breonna Taylor can't speak up anymore. Tamir Rice can't speak up anymore. Crawford can't speak up anymore. Mike Brown can't speak up anymore. George Floyd can't speak up anymore. and all the Sandra Bland can't speak up anymore. And all of these things, these people, the crime doesn't, the punishment doesn't match. And I'm talking about the officers that committed these atrocities. These atrocities. I was reading that New York is proposing a bill that would make false accusations a felony. I mean, we need tangible policy. So therefore, again, you still can't stop the Karens and the Stanleys from, you know, making false accusations. But at least when it's proven and we can show it, man, let's nail them. Let's make them an example. So therefore, other people, before they start picking up the phone and start doing different things to people who they think can't defend themselves, or they think that they're going to, you know, they can weaponize their color and weaponize the police force against them. Nah. And I don't know anything about the police in as far as the training and things of that nature. So I'm not going to speak on it as a citizen. There are some recommendations that I would like to give, but again, I don't know if they're doing that or not. So I don't want to insult anybody's intelligence, but all lies not going to matter until Black Lives Matter. I'm going to say that. All lies not going to matter to Black Lives Matter. And so this podcast was heavy. I needed to get it out. I just want to spark that conversation, spark that interest again. And then I'm a solution-based person. So for me, what I'm going to do, and I did it before, right after the Crawford situation. I reached out to my local police and the mayor. I was able to sit down and talk with them and just talk about some things that could be done to help with police and citizen interaction, you know, gave some suggestions and actually had two meetings with them. And you know, we did a couple things together, and one thing they did put on me and I did not follow through on that. So that's on me. I'm going to own it, but I'm going to suggest that other people do it. Reach out to your local representatives, your mayors, your aldermen, your congresspeople, representatives, whoever you can reach out to, police sergeants, city council, reach out to these people and let's spark these conversations, because whether you know it or not, your neighborhood and your city ain't nothing but a George Floyd away from just blowing up. And so be the change that you want to see. Bring some things to the table and let's hold these people accountable, man. Having these cameras is like a two-edged, you know, it's a blessing and a curse. It's a blessing because for years there was the narrative that they thought that our people were just making this stuff up. And now that we have camera evidence, now it's not really changing the outcome like we would want to see. However, you cannot continue to be willfully ignorant and act like these things are just not happening. So from that standpoint, then the last thing I want to do is just be careful, man, what you're taking into your spirit. You know, again, if you can handle it, you can handle it. I can only handle, you know, so much of it. And again, I had to unplug. I had to just, you know, woosah and all that. And yeah, it really was holding heavy on my heart. So I just utilize my platform responsibly. So to everyone out there that's listening, please stay safe. Again, make sure you're abiding by the laws. But if you are a police officer that's listening, or you know one, have a talk with them. If you're a police officer, create a space within your unit where the good ones can speak up. Change the culture from within. If you know your partner, there's somebody that's doing something wrong, that's, you know, just harming people, speak up. Because we're tired of this rest in peace. We're tired of the murders, the anger, the prayers, the hashtag, and then we repeat it all over again. So that's all I have today. Hopefully that the next podcast will be just a little bit more upbeat. But again, I just want to say I just love everybody out there. Again, please continue to support the Ken's Corner podcast. Please make sure that you are following us on all social media, which is Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and also the website www.kenscorner.co. So with that being said, I want to end this by saying that I love, that I trust, and I respect you. This is Ken of the Ken's Corner Podcast. Stay safe out there. Here is a fruit. For the crows.